Hello and welcome to It'll Go to Penalties, or as it's now known, It'll Go to Penalties. Yeah, chance will be a fine. This is Paul Hawksby, and even the theme music, as you can hear this week, is somber. It would be so easy, John, to indulge in a 30-minute England bitch fest. So let's do it. Hey! In the company of Olympic medalist, motivational speaker, and a man who generally likes a laugh, but I think that would have tested his powers of chortling. It is the great Chris Akabusi. Hey, Chris. A miserable Chris Akabusi. It's never happened before.
I ain't laughing now, mate. I ain't laughing now.
And alongside him is the Bastian Schweinsteiger of the Spurs podcast, I'm afraid to say. That's a compliment, by the way. Mike Lee. How are you, Mike?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, I'm on top of the world, mate. Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, God.
Well, where do we start, guys? Where do we start with that appalling performance by England? I mean, who are we going to start blaming first? Chris, can you put the blame on what? Is it a collective thing, or are you going to blame one person more than anybody else?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put the blame on us. For us, the general
public.
Well,
us three? No. That's a bit much.
Wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Us, the general public,
yeah,
for being so foolhardy,
yeah,
to really believe that England, who haven't won anything since 1966,
yeah,
in fact, in the last 80 years, have only won one World Cup, been in one semi-final of the World Cup, been in one European final, could actually do anything in this World Cup just because they beat... Was it Moldova they beat?
Yeah.
And Kazakhstan they beat?
good sides.
Oh, but then I guess we did beat Slovenia.
But it's... Fredonia we beat in the Duck Soup Cup, didn't we? It's like Salem, isn't it? It's like, you know, we're like all these kind of hysterical girls, Mike. We just get swept along with this idea. We think, yeah, we can definitely win it.
Well, we do, especially yesterday, because, you know, the sun was shining, everyone was out. It was like, you know, you're playing the Germans.
Yeah.
And you just... Because we'd played so badly before in the previous games, we all thought, well, they're going to play better. And even if we lose, it'll be one of those, you know, amazing games where we're really unlucky. And so it was just... Everything just went so flat.
Yeah,
and, you know, that was the problem,
but
wasn't
Mike,
it?
But, Mike, it's like all of a sudden we took our brains out of gear because we haven't beaten the Germans in a major championship since 1966. Why would we beat them this time then? Is that we took our brains out of gear. Since 1966, we've never been further in any sort of major championships than the Germans since 1966. But we're going to beat them this time. Why?
Well, I think why? Because the press, again, I'm sure we'll talk about the press and the press there. The press had all told us that this is not a good Germany team. This is a very young team. Look at our players, Champions League experience. We've got pound for pound better footballers, proven on things they've won with their clubs. That's why, as a fan, you believe it. What you then see is kids who want it more, kids who play with a passion and fearless.
Well, a freedom. That's the thing.
That's the word. Freedom and fearlessness. That's the word. Because let's not kid ourselves. The English players, they're passionate. I hate it when I listen to phone-ins and it's, oh, the players play with no passion. No, sportsmen are passionate. It's in your blood. When you go out there, you want to give of your best. But if you haven't got the freedom and you're not fearless, and guess what? The older you get, the more fearful you become. If you haven't got the freedom and you're not fearless, of course you're not going to perform. All of a sudden, when you are 33 and you realise the consequence of that 30-metre pass, if it doesn't get to our player and it breaks down and they score, you're not going to be able to do the same sort of thing when you're 19 and you did this at the Cub Scouts when you were 11 and you feel it and you see the moment and you ping the ball and it gets there because you're in the moment.
Yeah.
You see, so that's the problem, is that we've got an old, aging, has-been team that's living in the past, not understanding that the past is for reference, not for residence. We can't live in the past. We've got to have a team for the future, and the future is to the youth. The future is for young people. The German team is a young, fearless team playing with freedom.
Well, Germany went with youth. They've done that before, of course, hadn't they? they've been quite big into youth in the past.
Leave it, son. Leave it.
I know you say that we should go for youth, but there was a point yesterday when I thought, call for the wild geese. Remember that film with Roger Moore, Richard Harris, Richard Burton? And you kind of felt, Lineker's there. He's in the box. Lee Dixon's there. Yeah. Get him on. Shearer. Get the wild geese on. We might be able to salvage it. The moment, really, the moment we'll remember Kemba Capello form. I mean, he's got this 2-week window now where Sir David Richards, Sir David Richards wants 2 weeks to decide what he's going to do about his future. But we'll look back and we'll think, we need 3 goals in about 15 minutes. I'll bring on Emil Heskey. That's that's the moment we'll all remember, isn't it, I think, for Capello's. Because how's he going to pick the pieces up? I mean, if you were in that dressing room, Chris, you'd do a lot of motivational speaking these days. If you were the manager that had taken them to that appalling run of performances, ultimately in a terrible result against Germany, how would you face them? How would you face them again, those players?
Well, that is a very tough match in the club. I'd rather pick an easier one. Prior to the game, the Germany.
Yeah.
If you'd walked into that dressing room in Germany, when you play the Germans, I'd have walked in there, I'd looked at all these sort of players, and this is what Capello couldn't do, and I won't speak industrial language, but I'd have gone in there and I said, bleep, bleep, you are bleep, 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 you're on the bench, because this young guy, you can do it, I'm going to get you in there, and I want you to be your man. Just do what you do each day in day. I don't want to over choreograph you, I don't want to restrict you, I want you just to fly, be free, do what you, just express yourself. That would have been to Mr. Cole, the young lad there who's got a wonderful cultured both feet, who can do all sorts of things with the ball. And I say, I want you in there, and I'll sit you down on the bench, son, because you're not quite right, because you play, and this is, and I like this guy actually, even though West Ham fans don't like him, but Lampard, I say, actually, you know what, I'm going to bring you on in the second half when Stevie G is absolutely connacked. Can I say that?
Yeah, I think you're safe, you can get away with
When Stevie G is connacked, I'm going to bring you on in the second half, because I know that you can do box to box and you can score running into their box. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to have my creative player Joey Cole right here right now, and guess what, I'm going to have a real holding midfield player, the only West Ham player that should have been there, Scotty Parker. Okay, let's pretend he was there.
I mean, you probably heard all these stories. Scott Parker, apparently, the word coming out there was brilliant, absolutely brilliant in the camp, and all the players said, blimey, he's played himself in. But Capello practically didn't speak to him, didn't even have a word with him all the time he was at the camp, even though all the other players, he was playing out of his skin. He never had a chance of getting in.
He's the only West Ham player that should have been there. Yeah. Scotty Parker was absolutely immense all season. And a struggling side, he was absolutely immense. And he is a natural holding midfield player who likes to pass the ball 10 yards.
Well, we should have played with two, Chris, yesterday, really. We should have done what the Germans.
No, Paul, I sense you disagree. One holding midfield player, one creative midfield player, and then two small dinky wingers. Adam Johnson on the left. I know you weren't there, but Adam Johnson on the left, and then the Tottenham geezer,
Alan Lennon.
Don't come back over into our defensive half. You get that ball and you run past your winger, and your role is to get it in there to the only centre forward that should have been playing. Forget Heskey, forget Rooney, tall, crouchy, who flies like an eagle surrounded by turkeys. You should have Crouch around there, knocking it on to the only in-form striker, Davin Bent, 24 goals for England. What's he doing back home when he's the English player? He should have been on, because you know Davin Bent, he scores goals off his backside, off the back of his head, round by his calf. He doesn't know how he does it, but he scores
off
goals.
Off a balloon. He can score off a balloon. You want a man at a World Cup and score off a balloon.
Exactly. Sod red now. I think Chris Bruce should be the next England manager. PaddyPower.com/World Cup. Yeah. Have your free bet on Akabusi next season.
Akabusi could go in. What about that? We'd be slumming it in the box. Be like having Ozzy Ardiles. Wingers can't come back over the halfway line. It'll be fantastic.
But that's what you want. You need that centre back. You need the defensive minded centre back who all he thinks of is boom, Rose Ed. And that's a player, by the way.
Yeah.
Boom, Rose Ed. And then you need the culture centre back, who, like a Bobby Moore, who then will join the midfield, taking the ball like a Libra, passing the ball, you know, midfield. You need a midfield general. It's all done. And of course, but you said after Germany. I'd have gone, if it had been after Germany, I'd have gone in there with my head hanging his head. I know nothing.
Well, basically, he didn't do it. He could have done a Kevin Keegan. He's a very different sort of man, but he didn't do a Kev. Said, I've taken him as far as I can, and walked in the Wembley tunnel, just got on his bike and disappeared. But he was never going to do that with the amount of money that's on offer. But I cannot see, Mike, how he is going to pick that up and go and motivate that squad and get in front of him again in the European Championship.
First you would have said, has he become a bad manager overnight? This is the guy that's won major, you know, titles with, you know, in, sure. in Milan and whatever. And let's face it, before the World Cup, we were going, finally we've got an England manager that, you know, could show discipline and knows what he's doing tactically. So bear that in mind. He ain't going to...
Sounds like you'd keep him then.
Well, he's not going to walk. He's not going to resign. He's on £6 million a year and has had that clause taken out of his contract. They had to pay him off, probably not the £12 million for 2 years left, but, I don't know, £6, £7, £8, £9, £10 million. So he's not going to walk. They had to sack him. And the same thing again, which happens every time. Who are you going to bring in? Who are you going to bring in? Stuart Pearce? I mean, come on, you know. Yeah. You've got to look at... Who wants the bloody job?
Well, the front runners...
Let's be honest.
Well, it's like a potter can only make... a pot out of the clay that he's got.
Yeah.
And it's has he got the decent things, resources to work with?
Yeah.
I actually think he has, but I think he's looking in the wrong places. Again, I'm beating the drum here. Go to the youth. The youth are your future. Go to the youth. So if it be me, I'd get out a lot of those people that didn't play very well.
Yep.
And Mr. Rooney would have to prove himself to get into my team. All this sacred cow business, forget that, because sport's not for sacred cows. I'd go for the youth. I'd go for the Adam Johnsons. And this time I'd have the humility to allow people to play in their positions.
It's a good point, Chris, but how good is our under-21 team at the moment? I mean, the Germans took us apart last year. They beat us 4-0. I mean, we're actually slightly better off with the squad than we are. The bulk of that under-21 squad played yesterday for Germany. They beat us last year. Our under-21 team aren't bad. A lot of it, the problem, Chris, is that they don't get a chance at league level. A lot of those boys in our under-21 side are bit part players at their clubs. A lot of them playing the Championship.
What was that team? I remember when Noble, there was a game where like European Championship under-21s where went into penalties like 21-20 and young Ferdinand and Noble. I mean, they took brilliant penalties and I was proud of England that day. We had a real brilliant... I think it might have been the Germans or the Dutch.
Yeah, it was the Dutch.
The Dutch. And we played brilliant against the Dutch. And that was a great, hungry, young Lions. Where are those players? If we'd been German...
Nightclubs now, aren't they? £160,000 a week.
Well, I mean, one or two got around the side. Tommy Huddleston got around the side. I mean, Dawson did. There are players kind of coming...
No, but Dawson shouldn't be around. He should be in the side. Yep. He was the best English centre-back last season. Why was he not in the side?
So who's going to... I mean, the two front-runners for the job at the moment. Do you think it's got to be... Harry was saying today on Talksport, Harry Redknapp, he thinks it should be an Englishman. He has thrown his hat in the ring as well. Does it have to be an Englishman? What do you think?
I think the next one has to be an Englishman because of what's happened.
Well, I think it's because of what I was saying. I think an Englishman can get across in sort of industrial language what he wants. You know, I think with the best will in the world, how does Capello get deep down inside of himself and let people know how unhappy he is? Well, how can he do an Alex Ferguson?
Well, the other word of the day coming out of the dressing room was that he didn't say anything at half time. He did a bit of an Ericsson when we played Brazil. Didn't say a word. I mean, you know, that's just some of the rumours. There's going to be a lot of that kind of stuff coming out. And I'm sure that's why Dave Richards is having his couple of weeks to decide what to do. He'll be talking to all the senior pros.
I mean, it's interesting that the favourite at the moment is actually Hodgson, who I thought was meant to be taking the Liverpool
job. A lot of international experience, so that's a good fit.
No, he's been favourite with Switzerland.
Yeah.
So he's 9-4, Redknapp 3-1. The third favourite, 15-2, is Martin O'Neill.
Who interviewed badly last time. I'd be surprised.
Well, no, he didn't interview badly. Well, I mean, what do I know? What I heard was that he had to play Mr. Beckham. And Martin O'Neill was not going to have to play anybody.
Right.
He wanted to play who he thought should be there.
And wasn't allowed to bring his own back
room staff.
That's
right. So that was the thing. So now that's the sort of man you do want in the job. You do want a cloughy job in the job. You do want somebody who's got the kahunas to be able to say, even though you are an icon for England, Mr. Rooney, you haven't played well for the last 2 months, you're on the bench, son.
I think Harry would be a proper choice, Harry Redknapp.
I think Harry would already take it.
Trouble is, he's got this court case. He's got this this court case hanging over his head for these allegations of tax evasion, and the FA would be worried. You can't have a situation.
Well, it's like the Venables situation.
Be like Mr. Bridger in the Italian job, Noel Coward running running the team from the prison toilets. We can't have that, can we? Phone up saying stick Joey Cole, and I'm watching it on the telly in my cell. So they're not going to be doing that. So they're going to have to hedge their bets there. Mm. I mean, Hodgson hasn't taken the Liverpool job.
He hasn't
you wonder
yet.
If he's been sounded
well,
out.
I hope he has been.
I think what you were saying about that, you know, give me 2 weeks, Mr. Capello, so I can think things through, is code for saying let me speak to Hodgson. Let me speak to Martin O'Neill. Yeah. Let me see what it would take to get them in there. And if it's worth £12 million, see ya. Enjoy yourself.
And you know, whoever comes in is not going to want anything like that money. Roy Hodgson would do the job for probably a third of that money.
I mean, he wasn't on great money at Fulham. Fulham offered him an extra million just to stay at Fulham, not go to Liverpool. But Hodgson, great season with Fulham last season, but nearly went down the season before. Is he a big enough player, a manager, and again, you ought to think about the sort of the PR thing, the press side.
But that's what I think. That's our problem. I think, mate,
yeah.
is that we go too much about it. No, first and foremost, let's get a manager that can manage and a coach that can coach, and something that can connect with the people, the major resource, which is the players. Mm. And me personally, one man for the job out of that list there, Martin O'Neill.
You give it Martin O'Neill.
Martin O'Neill is a legend, mate. He's absolutely fantastic. Everywhere he's been absolutely phenomenal. He'll take no nonsense, no feces. He's a strong guy.
Yeah.
He's got principles. And the guy, I mean, but he plays young people. Look at that Villa side.
What's he won as a manager?
Players.
He's won a League Cup. What else has he won as a manager?
Yeah, because he's never been in. Okay, Leicester. Who?
Yeah. They did very well with Leicester. Well, I suppose England are almost like a Leicester City, aren't they?
He's done very, very well with lower grade teams.
Yes.
At the moment, England is a lower grade team.
No, you're absolutely right.
Forget this, we're going to win. No, if we were the top 16, maybe. Maybe England's top 16. I'll tell you something now. If we had a real qualifier for the World Cup, if we really had intercontinental qualifying, so that one country from every continent, Africa, Asia, the Americas, Europe, England, probably wouldn't make a World Cup.
No.
So that's what I'm saying. We're not really top 16.
But is he a good enough tactician? Because we've seen, Capello really didn't change anything yesterday. We were two banks of four. There was a great big gap
terrible.
To run. Too easy for Germany just to play around.
That was so disappointing.
So is he good enough technically, though, would you say? Is O'Neill good enough technically to go toe-to-toe with the best coaches in the world? He's a great motivator. He's not a coach.
I don't watch him week in, week out. I've seen him do well away from home, Villa. I don't watch him at Villa Park to tell you whether he can turn over lesser teams or whatever.
Personally. He fits your bill, though, Kristen. He has a couple of wingers banging balls into a big centre forward. He could do with a better centre forward, but he bangs him into.
He's got Heskey.
He bought Heskey.
Yeah. But
Chris, he bought Emil Heskey, mate.
I know. But that must have been a little bit of. I don't know what. That was because that was past preference. Forget that one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We'll
forget that one.
Forget that one. It ever happened. No, but he understands English football. Look, you've got to focus on your strengths. England, for the last 60 years, has played with a big centre forward and two nippy wingers. Why do you think all of a sudden in 10, 15 years you can learn to out-continental the Continentals?
Yeah.
You can't do it, my friend. We haven't got the players. We haven't got the people who play like that way. So play according to your strengths.
But only Spurs, as everybody has said, are the ones who play up 4-4-2, and that's a fairly loose 4-4-2. Every other side generally plays 4-3. The better sides that most of those guys come from play a kind of loose, again, a 4-3-3, one up with two joining in. So they are playing a more flexible system, Chris, at the top. It's only really Spurs who are playing in that old traditional way. So, I don't know. I mean, I think you have got to be quite tactically aware. I don't think you can just rely on playing the old way England have always played, because that's what we did yesterday, and we got absolutely gubbed.
But we did that with Lampard playing a holding midfield player, when actually for Chelsea he's an attacking midfield player. We did that with Gerrard, who's a central midfield player playing left wing. We did that with Defoe. We're trying to play with Rooney, and Rooney wasn't interested. You know, if you've got that sort of ingredients, you can't make it happen. But if you've got people up for it who've been playing that way all season, that can happen.
I've got a manager for you, Mike. I just want to run this past you boys. Next England manager.
Go on.
Diego Maradona.
Oh.
Well, he's making a name for himself there, isn't he? That's a team that's playing with freedom.
Oh, absolutely. Mate.
What about that? Can you imagine Diego Maradona?
He
would do it, though, wouldn't he?
He scraped through the joy that he has, and he shows, and how the players seem to love him.
But he's gone out there with about eight strikers,
and
at least none of them are getting a game. They're all just sitting there. Mm. All of his backroom team look like the Sopranos. It's fantastic.
But that's a good case in point. You know, you said he's playing with eight strikers, and none of them are getting a game. But can you imagine the motivation, knowing when you're on the pitch, how lucky you are to be on that pitch.
I've not heard the guy who scored the two goals
Milito.
I've not heard Milito complain once. He's got about 15 minutes of a game, hasn't he, in the dead rubber in their final group game. Bloke scored two goals. He's won the Champions League. He's one of the best strikers in Europe, and he's well down the pecking order, and he seems to be able to keep him on his toes.
I've got a little bit of a dodgy one with Maradona. I think he doesn't want players to be better than him. I think he doesn't want any Argentinian to make a name as big as him.
There was these stories he was a bit jealous and messy.
But look at Tevez. Tevez, one goal and one whatever that was, but two goals to his name. I mean, you got a little go for his hat trick, haven't you?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, Diego said, son, you can't sit down, son.
You're not going to score more goals than I did. So you might, you don't fancy Diego as the England manager?
No.
I was kidding. So as we said, Chris, on the old motivational front, could you pick those boys up now? If you basically on the plane now, you walked up the front of the plane, you went and got yourself a nice mini can of Diet Coke, and they've all just woken up, they're just getting off the plane. What would you be saying to those boys before they go back to their clubs, before they go off on their summer holidays?
Oh dear me! Oh, I mean that's probably the toughest assignment you've ever had.
Yeah.
I'll be just saying to these boys, look. Don't worry about it. Go and have your holidays. Really enjoy it, because when you get back, what you've got to look forward to is going around the Premiership grounds hearing the song, "You Let Your Country Down."
You Let Your Country
Down. That's exactly what's going to happen to every one of them, isn't it? Every one of them is going to get absolutely slaughtered.
So, really enjoy your little break, because you're going to have to Christmas, that's what you're going to be hearing. And the next time you go out on the pitch, remember that. And make sure that you can do something for the fans. But go, yes, England, England, number one, England, number one.
So, Mike, I think there's a few. There is a few names left in the old Paddy Power sweepstake, isn't there? Are there any choice ones left?
No,
but
there is. I mean, basically,
any potential winners.
Well, basically, for first-time listeners, every guest here has picked out a name from the hat, and Paddy Power giving them putting on a free £20 bet for them to win. The teams left in that have been drawn, I think it was Eamon Holmes had Spain
right
at 4-1. So obviously they're favourites. If they win, Eamon will get 80 quid.
Who else we got? We've got James Brown's got Chile. Yeah, 70-1 you got for Chile. Well, that's quite interesting. They're playing Brazil, and by the time you hear this, they may well be out. But while we do this, they are still very much in the competition. And they're a decent side. They knock it about. And I think Brazil, that's a team they probably wouldn't have wanted to play.
Mm.
We basically think it's nailed on now for Brazil. Is everybody, Chris, who's going to win it then? Now the mighty England have gone home.
This is going to be a bit surreal. Can I go back to motivating England?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask that one in a minute.
Yeah.
I've got it. I've actually got it.
Yeah.
I'll say to the boys, don't worry. Boys, your biggest highlight was you beat Slovenia 1-0.
Yeah.
So we've arranged for you to go back home and play South London.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. Nice regional match.
Yeah, well, that's regional. They're 2 million people. There's 2 million English-born people in South London.
Yeah.
So we play South London. You win 1-0, and you can say, "Well, at least we're the best team in London."
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, so now, what are you saying about Brazil?
Brazil. I just wondered, who do you think is going to win it now? Because everybody's just saying, "Oh, Brazil now." Right? Argentina, Germany. I mean,
no. I think the Dutch and the Germans will be in the semi-finals,
yeah.
And any one of those will be very hard.
So the Germans will beat Argentina. You think the Germans will beat Argentina?
Yeah, I do. So tell you why, because the Argentinians have not been really tested, and in the game yesterday against Mexico, actually Mexico gave them a good run for their money, and it was only a dodgy goal by Tevez.
Tevez ahead, yeah.
You know what I mean? That really sunk those people.
Have we changed our mind about Germany, Mike? Do you find yourself? I've got to be honest. Normally, if the Germans beat us in a game, I want them to get absolutely stuffed in the next match. But they played great.
Well, to be quite honest,
they kind of deserved their chance
because it got so atrocious yesterday. I actually wanted to get thrashed more. I think it got to the stage, I was happy with
We Want
more.
Were you singing We Want Six?
Yeah, exactly. It was so bad, it couldn't get any worse, and I just wanted it to be even more awful in a bizarre kind of way.
Because if you're saying it in German, you're probably in your living room saying We Want Sex, which is not ideal, really. Not with the windows open on a hot sunny day. Fantastic. Because that woman will come round from the phone box that Phil Cornwell was talking about last time with her World Cup special for 60 quid.
Exactly.
Right, should we draw these names out? This is the Paddy Power Sweepstakes.
It's a big team. Chris, you go.
Chris,
first.
Olympic medalist and MBEs. Well,
here go
first.
Ladies
here we
are.
Big teams,
ladies and gentlemen.
There's a big teams left in the
oh yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Who you got?
The team that I've got is Ghana.
Ghana. What about that?
Ghana 25-1 with Paddy Power.
25-1 Ghana.
So if you win, you get 500 quid. If they win it,
come on.
I've got my second team actually. Well, apart from the Argentina, I've had a bet, but and a place I've holidayed many times. Uruguay. 12-1. So I can win £240.
Fantastic. Okay, who have I got? Oh, I've got Argentina.
Oh, there you are.
See, that's God. That's Maradona's way. Because I've got behind him. So Argentina, 72. Not
72.
A lot. I lose about 50 quid, according to Paddy Power, if they win it.
Well, you predicted the first show we did. You know, we both backed Argentina, yeah. I think, from memory.
I quite fancied them.
We had 9-10 to
even though, Maradona's absolutely mad, yeah. I did fancy their chances. Mm. So, I mean, Ghana, it would be great, wouldn't it, if they could just kind of go that little bit further?
Oh, it would be lovely. I mean, that's lovely. If they could get into the semi-final, it would be absolutely brilliant. You know, for the country and for the continent to have an African team in the semi-finals gives the flavour of the championships that little bit long. I mean, that Vuvuzela thing, well, let's leave that alone.
It's a lovely idea. It's a lovely idea that everybody is behind Ghana, all of Africa. The, you know,
yeah, it's
Europe.
A lovely thing. Wouldn't happen in Europe, would it?
No, it wouldn't. We'd say, we'll get behind the European side. Yeah. We wouldn't do that, would we? Yeah, now, Chris, I'll ask you a question. You're an MBE,
yes,
aren't
sir.
You, of course. So, who gave you your, when you went to the palace, who gave you your, was it the Queen?
Was it was the Queen herself.
The Queen.
Oh. And I remember my little girls were waiting for the Queen, and I was down there getting ready to kneel down. It was, where's the Queen? And then my wife then said, oh, well, that's the Queen. No, where's the Queen? Because she didn't have her tiara on.
Ah,
all she had was a green dress and a green hat.
Now, what did she say to you, though? I always ask anybody who's met royal family at variety performances, what did she say to you?
The Queen was absolutely fantastic because, yeah. I mean, in the great scheme of things, you're not that much, but she knew so much about my event. You know, she knew that I'd been a soldier.
Yeah.
She knew that I ran the form with the hurdles, and she just asked me those two questions.
How does she remember? I mean, it's incredible.
Phenomenal stuff.
All these people come in. She could have easily said to you, and you've been a milkman now for 50 years. Yeah. You're not gonna say, you silly cow.
No.
Are you? You're gonna say, of course I'm not a milkman. I'm Chris Agabusi. I'm Lee McMahon. But you know,
no, she was fantastic.
She remembers who everybody is.
And it, like, you know, I mean, there was probably there was a couple of under us on that day, and you go down in batches of 25. So when you know, so there's 25 people she's going down. I'm in the middle of 25, and you know, she was brilliant.
Did you do a Bobby Moore? Do you kind of wipe the hand on the step before you shook the hand? Did you shake the hand, or what do you do? Is it just a bow?
Well, she extends her hand to you.
Yeah.
And then you
don't put your hand up to your nose and do one of them.
Oh!
Imagine the finger. You'd be in the towel, wouldn't you?
Oh, mate.
Be terrible.
I'm a royalist. I couldn't do that. I was British Broadcasting Corporation. I was in the British Army. I'm British Athletics. I'm British through and through. I couldn't do that to my Queen.
Mike, when you got your MBE, what did you do? Can you remember what did the Queen say?
I was so drunk, I can't remember.
You were in the green room beforehand, weren't you?
Exactly.
That's where she sees you all in the green room when she does her little bit of stand up.
Exactly.
And then you all come
I do wonder.
I panicked and I curtsied. Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing.
I do wonder how it does though for and Philip, when the Germans play the English, how they really...
Well,
really,
I mean, let's be honest, she's a lovely woman, but she's German, isn't she? There is that picture from when they won Euro 96 and she gives Jürgen the trophy. The smile, I've never seen the woman smile like that in her life. She's beaming when Jürgen turns around and lifts the trophy. She's basically German.
You do wonder, though. Yeah.
Philip wants Greece to win. I mean, Greece were appalling. Were they the worst? 4-0 down, honestly, this may have been said already on the podcast, but 4-0 down, you've still got 10 men behind the ball. What an utter disgrace. They should be blackballed from any future World Cup. What a disgrace.
I've got some listeners will know who've listened to the show before, new listeners. Paddy Power is still giving us very kindly sign up and get a free £20 bet, which you can still have for the rest of the tournament. If you still want to bet on England related things, go to paddypower.com/World Cup. We've already talked about who could the ex England manager be. They're doing odds on who will be the next player to officially retire from international football before August the 11th. Favourite is Beckham at 9-4 on, James 7-4 on, evens is Ledley King. Heskey 3-1, you can have. Players going into hiding.
Just on that one, Mike, I'll push a couple of players up there. Rio Ferdinand, I think he's
6-1.
His back is absolutely in bits.
Really?
And I don't really believe
there,
you kind of wonder how much longer he's got.
Man,
as a Premier League, it's so hard. He's, you know, the back, as you know, Chris, you've had a lot of injuries, I'm sure. Back injuries are terrible, aren't they? So debilitating, and he's really struggling with
it. Well, any of those sort of joint injuries, you know, once they get Achilles, ankles, knees, backs, you know, once they go.
Yeah, and I would stick. I mean, I wonder if John Terry. I mean, I don't know. John Terry maybe asked.
He'll hang about. Yeah.
You think he'll carry
wait
on?
For a new manager and be a captain. He'll be wanting to be captain.
And
he'll
want to come back
he?
As captain again.
I think so.
Yeah, he'll have a couple. And also, they'll need him. He'll be the sort of a backbone. I suspect that he'll be around for a while. Gerrard will be around for a while.
Yeah.
Mm. Of course, Rooney.
Heskey. Do you think Heskey will retire?
G-O-N-E.
No. That's the last we've seen of him. Really, the last we should have seen of him was when he tried that dribble in the Algeria game where he did Norman Wisdom, fell over his feet and toe poked it wide. That should have been the last time we ever saw him. Really.
They're also doing first England player to be pictured by the press on the beach. amazing,
Cole,
isn't
it? Cole,
Lampard at three. Ashley Cole
birding it in Miami.
Terry's 4-1. Gerrard's 5-1. You get all the odds at paddypower.com/World Cup. And finally, the destination of the first England pair pitched on holiday. Favourite? What's the destination?
Well, the favourite
to
Tenerife.
Close.
Not the, I think a lot of them go to the States now because they don't get recognised. The last place you want to go is a place full of English tourists. So I would go possibly Miami.
Well, Florida 6-1. Yeah. Favourite is Dubai 4-1.
Oh yeah, they will like
Morocco 6-1. Thailand 8. Porto Banus 10-1. Vegas 12s. You can get all those there.
Anywhere you could go, I think it's going to be places where they're not going to be spotted. Yeah, they're going to walk around with bags over their heads for about 2 weeks anyway, wherever they go, won't they?
And a couple of other specials they're doing, which you can have a free £20 bet on. They're doing a big thing, and join our Facebook group. If you go to worldcuppodcast.com, get a link to our Facebook group. They're doing a big thing about video technology, you know, because we haven't talked about the goal that wasn't.
Two to one
will video technology be used in Euro 2012? 7-1 will it be used in the Premier League next season? Also, Capello still to be in charge for the next England game, which is August the 11th against Hungary.
Before the season starts. Have we got an England friendly?
What's the point of that?
What about the crowd? About 12,000 there.
Are you going?
Oh, yeah, I mean, what a triumphant return home as they get applauded on the pitch. We're not talking about the technology because we're wasting our breath. Let's be honest. Right. We can argue it. Sepp Blatter doesn't want it. And there's a lot of things people are saying today. He says it's too expensive. That's not what he says. No. What he actually says is you can't filter it down. There's certain parts of the world that can't afford to have that setup. In a World Cup where everybody's saying, a chip in the ball, goal line, Hawkeye. You don't need that. We just need TV pictures.
Well, look at the Argentina game where they nearly disallowed the goal and they realised Tevez was outside, but they showed the replay by mistake.
Yeah.
And all the Mexican players pulled the lino over and went, oh look, we've just seen it was offside.
We all feel we should have it, but we won't have it as long as Sepp Blatter is in charge of FIFA, and he's got another 4 years,
I mean, it's a no brainer for me. So why doesn't he want?
He thinks the game is the old game should be the same on Hackney Marshes. He doesn't say Hackney Marshes. He hasn't got a clue where it is.
But whatever
the Swiss equivalent of Hackney Marshes is, he thinks it should be the game. He says that part of the joy of the game is watching England fans tear a place up when they've had a goal that crosses the. We should be fair. They've been brilliant. I've seen that today. I know I'm jumping about, but the fans, we should say now, have been fantastic. South African police singled them out. Some of the best fans in this World Cup.
That's absolutely lovely.
Especially when you think about how much money those guys have paid.
Back to the technology. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, okay, that's a political bit. The political line is you can't play that in Africa and Asia. But what's really behind it? Why would you not do that? Because football today is not. It's not the same in England as it is in Africa and Asia. Yeah. Simple as. It's just not. The pictures they got in Africa and Asia are nowhere near the same. Forget what you see now in South Africa because that's staged for the World Cup.
Sure.
But most of those guys play on sandy roads, stones all over the place, with a couple of jumpers down there and a kick in a can around.
Yeah.
So what's the real reason behind it? Because to me it doesn't make sense. It's such a global, massive business, and why would you have such massive great areas? Lampard's goal, it wouldn't affect the game in the end, but Lampard's goal was a goal.
Umpire takes 10 seconds, third referee, and that's
exactly.
Exactly,
the fourth official could be doing that. They don't do a great deal else, do they?
Absolutely,
I mean, it would take a few seconds.
Let me just finish this then. Yeah. So Capello 2-1 on to still be England manager, August the 11th, 6-4 no. Still just a top scorer, is it Higuain? How do you pronounce that?
Higuain.
Yeah. He's still favourite, 7-4. He's scored four goals.
He has scored four now, and he's missed about eight as well.
It won't be him though, will it?
Because VS 10-3, who's been looking amazing.
I think Higuain's a good shout.
Suarez has been playing well, Fabiano 7s, Van Persie, who didn't score again today for Holland, 18s. Those are the sort of favourites. Forlan, you sort of get 22s.
Fancy a bit of Ghana, you're backing Chris, old Asamoah Gyan.
He's got a couple, isn't he? Free bet anyway at Paddy Power.
It's got to be it won't be Higuain because Diego won't allow him to play all the time.
Do you think as soon as he gets near the golden boot, he'll drop it?
Yes, sit down, son. You ain't no
jealous
more glory.
Diego.
I'm the mate. It's got to be me in the limelight. So it's got to be someone like Villa. And so, or is going to have a little good decent run in the World Cup.
Fantastic. Now, I was listening last week, Mike, to Phil Cornwell and Tonks and Paul Whitehouse. So he was raving about a book. You got a bit of good news on that front,
there's this great book that I haven't read yet myself, but called Why England Lose, and it's sort of like the sort of free economics of the economics.
Yeah, that'll really cheer us up.
Yeah, but you know, why not? I think, you know, if everyone's going on their first summer holidays, that's, you know.
Yeah, a good read about Jackie Collins, I'll take.
Exactly.
Definitely.
And we've done a great deal whereby you can get you can download it for free.
That's
so
good.
It's well worth. If you go to audible.co.uk /IGTP, you can sign up and download that for free.
Is it read by Fabio Capello?
I think it is.
Why
there's an Italian version of it. Yeah, but anyway, audible.co.uk/IGTP. You can get the White England book. You can download it for free. If you didn't get it, if you haven't got a pen with you, go to worldcuppodcast.com and we'll put it on our Facebook group, won't we?
So why are we going to lose then? What's the answer?
Where do we start? I mean,
hey, read the book.
Yeah, well, I think this is where we came in. They do lose, and they lose far too frequently. So. Fantastic, guys. Are we just about done, or have we any more business?
A couple of things. A lot of people have been writing in. If you go to World Cup at playbackmedia.co.uk and write in with your views, a lot of people have been writing in about the curse of Mick Jagger.
Oh, yeah.
How every team he goes to watch him lost.
Such a shame he hadn't popped up when Phil was here last week, of course, because he could have given us the full. Yeah, that's right. He went along, I don't know if you've seen him, Chris. Mick Jagger was sitting with Bill Clinton. Mm. USA got beat. He was there yesterday. He's watching England get beaten. Mm. He's watching Brazil as we
tonight,
speak. Brazil play tonight, and he's watching Brazil. So he's like the Grim Reaper when it comes to the
World Cup. What kind of got on that then?
There must be a bit on the old Paddy Power Cowboy boys. I'm sure they'll do it for us. And also, we've got this iPhone app as well. The It'll Go to Penalties iPhone app is available on iTunes, bit.ly/WCP. app. Again, on the Facebook group, another freebie. We're giving stuff away now. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why England lose. The ultimate reason why England lose is simple as this. They decide things like this. We've got two phenomenal players that play the same position, so we're going to play them anyway. Yeah. It'll be like back in the day saying to Ray Clements, let's tell you what, Shilton's going to play in goal this week because you're so good, I'll have you at right back.
Nice
why?
Idea.
Because, well, nice yeah. idea. You're just such a guy. Or it'll be like saying, like with Rooney, we played Rooney and saying, well, he's going to come good. I mean, we know he's going to come good. It'd be like saying, I'll tell you what, Akabusi, Olympic Games 2012, we're going to play him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he ran 20 years ago. But you know, he can come good. He can come good. That's what England lose. Because we go back to the past and we don't dare put people in that are in the moment.
It would be great just to get on the Audible book there, and the book says, Why England Lose? And then you hear a bloke say, because we're shit. And that's it, really. There is more to it than that. It's a very good book. No, let's be honest, we're not shit. Okay, we are. Yeah. Paul there in the corner. The dissenting voice of the call.
Are you looking forward to the Premier League now? I think
I can't wait.
Certain fans, you want to go to certain games now and see these players running out. You're just going to be, I can't get up for this.
But the thing, I can't believe we're that bad. Yeah. I mean, we are, but I can't believe we're that bad. I can't believe, you know, that we can't be up there. Well, we're better than France and Italy for sure.
But the thing is,
will we beat France?
The thing is, Chris, people will go, oh, you know, Wayne Rooney, you're in world class, this one world class. No, they play with foreign players in the army who are really world class, making our players look good.
Maybe that's the route, Mike. I mean, you know, we've got our English cricket team South African. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Mikel Arteta, I think, could play for England at the moment.
No doubt about it.
We could have Almunia in goal. Let's be honest, it couldn't be any worse. So let's do that. Let's get the old that thinking, and let's have a team. No, I'm only kidding again. Wouldn't that be horrendous? We had just a team full of kind of flag of convenience.
None of them know the national anthem.
Yeah, but none of them sing it anyway.
So. Arteta would get in the England team, would he not?
Well, I think he's been here long enough now. I mean, you can get a bit like they do with the cricket as long as you're sort of naturalised.
Been here for 5 years?
Yeah,
in you go.
He can just step
value.
In. Fantastic.
Fabregas!
Cesc Fabregas.
In you go,
marvellous. What a team we'd have. Good stuff. Well, guys, thanks very much. You have been listening to It Will Go to Penalties. Sadly, that's it for England, but the World Cup goes on and the podcast goes on. Who's up next, Mike?
We've got coming up, I think we've got Nick Frost, the actor Nick Frost, up on the next show with the Irish comic Michael Smiley.
Marvellous.
And we've got Omidjalidi coming up. We might have Paul Whitehouse coming back. So we've got loads of really good guests still to come for the rest of the World Cup.
Fantastic.
So there's still something to look forward to.
Good to see you, Mike. Good to see you, Chris.
Yeah, nice one. Good to put face to a name.
Yeah,
just know Hawksby, Paul Hawksby.
Face to a radio, huh?
I would have said it if he had. There we are. Thanks for listening, and keep enjoying the World Cup as much as you can without England.
Get all the links for It'll Go to Penalties at worldcuppodcast.com and get your free £20 bet at paddypower.com/worldcup.